Well, good evening. Good to have you here tonight at church. We get to open up God's Word and we get to plow in, and I really trust that tonight that there's something that you can latch onto, something that you can kind of walk out into the car park with thinking about. I trust there's something here tonight that the Spirit of God wants to speak to you in such a way that this week you'll keep thinking about it. So can I really encourage you, just be really open to what the Spirit of God wants to say. I know sometimes when people are sharing and speaking, it's easy just to kind of like turn off, or I'm not really interested in that, or it doesn't really impact me, or I get it, I watch what you do. So I just want to encourage you, stay in the moments tonight, because the Spirit of God does want to speak to you. And the Spirit of God gets our attention when we are open to what God's Word wants to say to us. I really love in Luke chapter 24 on the road to Emmaus when Jesus comes alongside two believers that start talking about the events of the cross, and they're really kind of confused because they're hearing these rumors that Jesus is alive again, and then Jesus walks alongside them, and then he ends up sitting down, has a meal, breaks bread with them, and then Jesus just disappears, and they realize, whoa, that was Jesus. He actually is alive. And they had this reflection. They said, wow, when Jesus was talking about the Old Testament and how he had fulfilled it, were not our hearts burning within us? You see, the Word of God can't be contained. The Word of God, it burns within us if we're open to it. And that's my prayer, that tonight the Word of God will burn within you. There is something that will just enliven, that the Spirit will grab you in such a way that you will be changed. So let's be expectant that God wants to speak to us tonight through his Word. We're looking at your kingdom come. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for your Word. And we pray that tonight we can have a road to Emmaus experience. Lord Jesus, can you just come alongside of us? And as we hear your Word tonight, Lord, would you burn afresh within us a deep desire for more of your kingdom, for more of you, and for a willingness to go into the world and shine a light. Lord, we want to be a city on a hill. We want to be the light you're calling us to. So, Father, would you start to resonate in our life tonight? Speak to us. Open up our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. What's your favorite holiday location? You can shout it out. A bit of interaction tonight. What's your favorite? What's that, sorry?
Nepal.
Everest. Crazy man. Favorite holiday location? Fiji. There's heaps of people have been to Fiji. How are you? A body surfing image? Still got it in my mind. That's pretty psycho. Fiji. Back. Cheese grater. Ouch. Favorite holidays? Queensland. Awesome. Who doesn't love Queensland? Holidays. Favorite holiday? What's that?
Jervis Bay.
Sands are so white. It's so good. Did someone say something over here? Hawaii, I want to go, never been, love to go. Apparently, there's heaps of turtles. My son loves turtles, got to get there. Holidays, how good is it? How good is creation? I cannot stand when, because I don't have an Apple, I just have a PC, and they've always got those awesome holiday locations. It's like Monday morning and boom, screensaver. Cook Islands, you sit there going, wow, I'm at work. Who wouldn't love to be in a tropical paradise or climbing up Everest or somewhere? We love to escape, don't we? I do. I mean, Shell and I, we found ourselves at Brampton Island way before we had kids. It was an awesome holiday spot. We were snorkeling together and we saw turtles. There were so many cool moments that we'll forever remember. And we just got lost. Don't you love in holidays when you forget what day of the week it is? It's like time. It's just irrelevant. Who cares? You don't have to be anywhere at any specific time. We just love that. It's just unbridled, just a joy. And I found myself at the end of these holidays just wanting to have a moment with God, just wanting to draw aside and thank God for the incredible creation that we have found ourselves in. And it was early the last morning that we were there at Brampton Island, and yes, under a palm tree, reading the Word and looking out at what was basically this massive sand flat, because there's 6 meter tide differences. So when it's high tide, the water's like right here. You take one step and it's like over your head. But low tide, 6 meter tide differences. And seriously, it's almost like you can look out at the horizon and still see sand. It's utterly bizarre. Such a contrast. Found myself looking at what seemed to be an incoming tide. And when the tide comes in, it's just like this rush of water that comes in. And as I was reading the Word of God, I started to get a little bit anxious about growth in God's kingdom, about friends that have turned away from Jesus and just seem so far away from God. They were kind of, one day we were sort of hanging out, talking about God. It's like the next day, they don't want anything to do with God. And I started feeling about those that are really anti-God in my life. And I was just thinking about church and growth and started to feel really anxious. When are we going to see revival in this nation? Why do we have everything and yet we seem to be so chained? And I was just thinking, God, when are you going to come? When are you going to come to this nation and do something great like what we experience in places like Africa? When are you going to do something powerful here? I got so anxious that I just basically stopped in that moment and I just walked out and just met the incoming tide. It's an awesome, weird moment when you're just looking at your ankles and water is just rushing around your feet, and it's this water, it's just marching to the shoreline, and it's quite kind of like mesmerizing looking at this water. And then I just had this thought, and I knew I couldn't dream up this thought. I knew it was the Spirit of God speaking. It was just a question: can anyone hold back this tide? I remember thinking to myself and looking at this water marching to the shoreline there, thinking, how could anyone hold back this tide? Sandbags, earth-moving equipment, who could hold back this tide of water? It's just filling up all the sand that's undulating. It's just marching forward. And I was lost in that moment. And then another statement came. I know it was the Spirit of God speaking. It was just very clear in my mind. It said, my kingdom is like an incoming tide that no one can stop. My kingdom is like an incoming tide. It's not a destructive tsunami that wipes out the world. No, the kingdom of God, it's like an incoming tide of water, an incoming tide of power, of justice, of healing, of mercy, of real change and transformation in our lives and in our world. The kingdom of God is like an incoming tide of God's love, His grace and His mercy, so that on our worst days, as a follower of Jesus, when we have fallen short, we know that our sin has got in the road of what God wants to do in our life. Those days when I'm just feeling guilty and shameful, man, I have those days. And I can cry out to Jesus, forgive me. And the kingdom's like an incoming tide of God's forgiveness. It gets me up out of that guilt and shame and into a new day where I feel forgiven and free. That's the kingdom of God. It's like an incoming tide of God's holy power. It lifts you up out of your bed in the morning to love others. It's really hard to love others because, you know, we're told that the world's all about me, me, me. But the kingdom of God is about us loving others. And the kingdom of God, God's holy power in our life, it gets us out of the bed in the morning so that we can actually love other people. The kingdom of God, it's like an incoming tide of justice. We know and we believe that it enables us to pray for the weak and the orphan and the marginalized. And we believe that when we pray for the weak, that God can come and do what He does best, lift up the humble so that all can experience the power of God. Because when we pray, it's like we reach out with one hand here, we're reaching up with God, and we're asking God's help for this person, and the kingdom of God can come where there is weakness and powerlessness. God loves to come into that context, and He loves to then lift up that person with the same power that He lifted up in your life. Kingdom of God is like an incoming tide. We're looking at God's kingdom coming to us. Why don't we just have a few moments of just discussion amongst ourselves? Where have you seen the kingdom of God at work? Where have you seen God at work? Is it something in your life? Is it somebody that you've seen that God has seriously changed, where He's touched a person's life and you go, wow, that can only be God? Why don't you just take a few moments just to chat to those around you. And if you don't know, that's cool. If you don't have anything to say, that's cool. You can just sit there and talk about something else. That's fine. But why don't you just take a few moments and just share, where have you seen the kingdom of God come? It's like an incoming tide. Has God touched your life lately in some way? Have you seen it in somebody else? Have you seen it in and around yourself? Take a few moments. Chat to the person nearest you. That's awesome, because Jesus is a power greater than ourselves that we call on, and the kingdom is like an incoming tide. These are real stories, real people, because the kingdom of God is real. So what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is this. It is God's reign. God's reign. That is the kingdom of God. There should be a slide there for that. God's reign. In Psalm 103, verse 19, we read this. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. See, right there in the Old Testament, we can hear that the kingdom of God, it doesn't just come in Jesus. The kingdom of God has been there in the beginning since God is. It is God on his throne, and it's his reign ruling over the universe. God's kingdom is God's reign. So that's the basic meaning of what the kingdom of God is. And so it is very, very good news when Jesus gives up his place in heaven to become one of us, incarnate, fully God, fully man. He walks amongst us. It is about bringing God's reign here on earth, and that's why it is such good news. Because when the kingdom of God comes, you can't help but be transformed, renewed, changed, whole, made right with God. God's reign, when it comes to your life and in your life, you are forever changed and you have a story to tell. God's reign in and over our lives. But there is a tension in the Bible that I want to pick up for a few moments, because you see, the kingdom, it's both now, it's present, and yet it is future as well. See, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is now, it can be within you, but yet it's also not yet completed. So let's have a look at the future reality of God's reign here on earth. It is here, it's right now, and yet the kingdom isn't fully completed. It's important we understand that. Jesus said that when we are to pray, we are to pray, "Our Father in heaven, holy is your name," then what? "Your kingdom," which is your reign, your rule, your kingdom, "come to earth." Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Why are we to pray that God's rule should come, more of God's reign should come? Because it's not fully realized yet. Jesus instructs us, pray that more of God's reign, more of his rule, more of his power will come on this earth. And so as we look out and we see sickness, cancers, accidents like snake bites or terminal illnesses, we look at this world and we go, "Wow, God, are you good and all powerful?" Well, yes. And we are to pray that God's kingdom will come. And when we look at the fallenness of this world, we say to ourselves, you know what? God's power can be realized and experienced today, right now, but it's not yet fully complete, because when Jesus comes back again, and we know that Jesus rose from the grave, he is alive, he's at the right hand of the Father. When Jesus comes again, he's going to do away with all evil, all sickness, all pain, all death. And for those that follow Jesus, we will be ushered into the new heavens and the new earth for all eternity. And that's the hope we share in tonight. So we live in this tension where the kingdom is not yet fulfilled completely yet. It will when Jesus comes again. But the kingdom of God, his reign, his power can be experienced right now this evening. And the present reality, it's seen, we're going to be hanging out in the beginning of Matthew's gospel. It's seen when Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." The kingdom of heaven, God's reign is near. Get right with God, because God's power and his presence is here. And Jesus goes even deeper in Luke chapter 11, verse 20. Jesus debating with the Pharisees, the religious rulers, he says, "But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. If you experience my power in your life, my reign, my rule has come to you." Jesus goes even deeper than that. He says in Luke 17, 21, he says, "The kingdom of God, God's reign, does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." Do you see that extra step that Jesus takes? Jesus understands that the kingdom can be experienced now, but yet it's not fully complete. So Jesus says, because it's not complete, pray that more of God's reign will come, more of his power. It's like an incoming tide, no one can stop. But the kingdom is also able to be experienced right now when you experience God's power. Do we not say the kingdom of God has come to you? And Jesus says, the kingdom of God is also within you. And when we actually say, Jesus, I want to be all into your kingdom. I want all in, not one foot in the world and one foot trying to work out faith. No, I'm going to put both feet into the kingdom of God. I'm going to give all of my life. Forgive me, Lord. I want to follow you. That moment is when we take not just one step, but two steps, both feet in the kingdom. That's when the Holy Spirit, God's reign, is ruling and can rule over your life. Does it make your life all sweet? No. But can you experience a power greater than yourself? Yes. It's God's reign ruling over your life, and that's the good news. And I think it's really difficult for us because we don't know what's going to happen in the next moment. How good is it to transfer all of your trust into God's reign, who does know the next moment? And we can trust is good and all-powerful and loving and kind and forgiving, and he is a protector God. I love the fact that God's got the next moment covered. And then the next moment. And then God's got the next moment covered. And guess what? He's got your Monday morning covered and your Monday night and your Tuesday. And does that not fill us with peace? God's got it covered. Because the kingdom of God, his reign for disciples of Jesus, Jesus says, is within us. I just want to ask a question tonight. How can God's reign take hold of your life? How can we take hold of God's rule, God's kingdom? It's really down to how much do you want it? How badly do you want God's reign in your life? How much do you want the kingdom of God? Do you just want some of the kingdom and then some of the world and some of whatever you think you need in life? How much do you want it? Do you want all the kingdom? Do you want it all? Because if you're going to experience the fullness of God's reign, you've got to really want the kingdom. I had an experience a couple of weeks ago. We were in JB Hi-Fi as Zach was getting ready for year 7. And my gosh, there's a whole list to get. It's a brave new world when your first child goes to high school. And there we are in JB Hi-Fi trying to get his laptop all sorted out. It's like a whole sea of parents, stressed out parents that have these long lists of what the computer needs to be. It's quite funny, really. But for my two little ones, Caleb and Micah, they thought that it's the world's best place, JB Hi-Fi. It's like, it's seriously the new Toys R Us. Like, Toys R Us is closed down. That's cool. JB Hi-Fi, that is the new Toys R Us. Those boys are just going through all the aisles. They want nearly everything they can see until they came across this one little box. It was about, seriously, this big, yay high, little box. And it had two VR masks with lightsabers in it. And they seriously wanted virtual reality lightsaber fights. And who wouldn't? I mean, my gosh, what an awesome... Imagine if we had that tonight. You get to the end of the sermon and you actually get a go of VR masks. Like, seriously, that would be seriously an incentive. Like, that would be amazing, right? And so they said, Dad, can we have it? Can we have it? And I looked at it in this little box, okay, no joke, $9,900. Seriously, 10 grand. 10 grand for this little tiny box. And there were seriously so many boxes all stacked up. I'm like, wow, that's a lot of money. Like, wow, they wanted the most expensive gift in, I think, well, there's TVs, but, you know, the most expensive gift they could possibly find. That's what they really wanted the most. That's typical kids, isn't it? Wow. Okay. Imagine if, random, the owner of JB Hi-Fi came up to my boys and said, you know what? You can have this gift if you want. You can't have anything else. But you can have this, the most expensive gift. Go for it. You can have it. That'd be like, yoink. They would be like, wow, happy days. I just got the most expensive gift for nothing. you know, in a very, very distant kind of way. Very, very distant. All analogies break down somewhere. But the kingdom of God is the most expensive gift that God wants to give to us. And why is it the most expensive gift? Because it actually cost God his own son. The kingdom of God is the most expensive gift because it's not what it costs us, it's what it cost Jesus. His life, when he was on the cross, bleeding out, dying, he died to take the punishment that we deserve for rebelling against God so that his reign, his rule, can actually come within our life. But he's not in the grave. The Father rose him back to life 3 days later on, and he is alive and has the power to actually breathe his spirit into your soul, and it gives you a power greater than yourself, and it is real power. But how much do you want it? How much do you want God's reign, his rule in your life? If you really want it, like I mean really want the kingdom of God, then Luke chapter 12 verse 32 becomes very real. Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock. Your Father has been very pleased to give you the kingdom." You hear that? Love in God's heart for you. Don't be afraid, little flock. Your Father is so keen to give you the kingdom. But how much do you want it? How much do you want the reign of God in your life? Not just some of God, but all of God. How much do you want it? Right towards the end of my apprenticeship as a carpenter, right at the end of my fourth year, was a time when I had two application forms. I had one for a builder's supervision and one for a home loan, and I was very close to buying a house down at Russell Vale. I was just dating Michelle at the time. I had become a follower of Jesus about 4 months earlier, and there was an opportunity at the church I was going to, Guymere Baptist, to lead the youth ministry. I was approached by the senior pastor that I should apply. I thought he was crazy. I thought I should be doing Alpha more than leading a ministry. And I kind of dismissed it. It was one evening when I was finished the day of building, and I was in my bedroom and I was just praying, and I was reading through the Gospels, and inadvertently I was reading the rich young ruler who wanted to follow Jesus but couldn't give up his wealth. And as I was praying, and as I didn't think too much of the story, didn't really understand what that story meant. I had a word from God that just said, "If you follow me, you'll follow me." That was it. If you follow me, you will follow me. I was such a new disciple of Jesus at that moment. And I was actually kneeling at my bed. And I got up and I sat on my bed and I just said, "Jesus, you have all my life." I went over to both those application forms, and in that moment it felt right. I ripped them up and I just put them in the bin and I applied for that job. It was in that moment, I was saying to God for the first time in my life as a 20-something, I was saying, "I'm going to put both feet in the kingdom." Both feet in the kingdom. 20 years down the track, here I am tonight. Because I believe that that choice doesn't mean that you need to be in ministry to be fully obedient. But Jesus wants both your feet into the kingdom of God, not just one foot. You won't last. If you've got one foot following Jesus and one foot in the world, you're not going to last. The world, your flesh, the devil will just sweep you away. Jesus wants both feet in the kingdom. And it comes down to little choices that we make. That choice that I made, "I'm going to be all in, Jesus," set me up for now 20 years of saying, "Jesus, I still want to be all in. I'm still all in." God loves to give you his kingdom, which is his power, its reign, his reign in your life. The question is, how much do you really want it? I want to encourage you in these three very simple ways. Thirst, seek, and grow. Thirst, seek, and grow. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for right relationship with me, for they will be filled." Filled with what? Filled with the kingdom. Filled with God's reign. Filled with a power greater than yourself. Blessed are those, more than happy, are those who hunger and thirst for the kingdom of God. And sometimes that means sacrifice. It's not just a one-time sacrifice. It's a continual choice every day to say, "Jesus, both feet in." Tomorrow morning, I encourage you to say, "Jesus, both feet in the kingdom. Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to love you with all of my life. I want to be obedient to you, Jesus, today. Help me to do that. I want to love my neighbor as myself. You've got me, Jesus." And then Tuesday, I encourage you, wake up. "Jesus, you have me, all of me." Just take faith one day at a time and you watch. Each day becomes a building block to a life of obedient faith. Just take one day at a time. Don't think, "How am I going to do it on Friday when my mates are going to ask me to the party?" Don't worry about Friday. Just worry about Monday. Get up in the morning and say, "Jesus, you've got all of my life. Both feet in the kingdom. I just want to follow you. That's it." And God will take that day. He'll take that prayer. And you watch what he does to your life. Tuesday morning, do it again. "You have my life, all of my life. Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to love you. I want to love my neighbor. I want to be obedient." And Jesus say, "Yep, I'll meet you today." And you'll just start walking with Jesus. And you watch, you'll blink. 20 years will pass. You'll be like, "Wow, I love Jesus more today than ever." One day at a time. Obedience takes us deeper and deeper into the kingdom of God. Thirst and then seek. And that's all I did. That's all I do every morning. "Jesus, I just want to follow you today," and seek. Jesus says in Matthew 7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." What does it mean to seek Jesus? Man, you got to talk to him. A conversation with God will lead to an encounter with God. If you want to stand as a Christian, you got to kneel. What does it mean to seek God? You got to talk to him. And it's not just one moment in the morning. Why can't your day just be one whole conversation with God? When you're at work, before you go and play whatever the favorite thing is that you have, talk to him, thank him, ask him, seek him. You'll find him. Jesus said, see, God doesn't play hide and seek. It's not like we got to go, "God, where are you? Where are you? I'm be looking. You're not under there. You're not over here." God doesn't play hide and seek. You want to seek him? Jesus says, "You'll find me." How do you find me? You've got to talk to me. We wake up in the morning and we say, "Jesus, I just want to follow you all of my life. Jesus, I need you." And all throughout the day, you talk to him and you'll find him and you'll experience Jesus and you'll experience his kingdom within you, and your life day after day will be transforming and grow. Jesus says, likewise, Matthew chapter 7, likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. That's obvious. Every tree that does not bear fruit, well, is cut down, it's thrown to the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you'll recognize them. Fruit or behavior? By your behavior, the world will recognize something about you. You see, when we thirst after God, when we seek after him, our behavior will change. It will. Growth comes down to faith in action. I want to encourage you tomorrow, eyes wide open. Look for a moment to be a blessing in someone's life. Just look for a moment. Ask God for an opportunity to share him. If there's a need, meet it. Don't take the glory, give glory to God. You see somebody broken down and they can't fix their tire, for us that are older, stop. Help that person. And they say, "Why are you helping me?" Well, tell them how good God is. and how he's saved you many times when your tire in life has been flat, maybe metaphorical flat. Whatever it may be, you see a need, you meet it. Because when faith goes into action, growth will happen. But sitting around talking about following Jesus, nah, that's just talk. Paul says the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. It's a matter of power. And what's the power? It's when we put faith in action and we overflow with grace moments, blessing moments in people's lives. You seek God. You thirst for him. You will grow. You'll grow by faith in action. God loves to give you the kingdom. He loves to give it to those who really want it. I want to challenge you tonight. If you've got one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, put both feet in the kingdom. It just starts with a choice. A choice to say, you know what, Jesus, whatever it takes, I'm going to follow you. That's what I did. And that moment, all in moment, God will take you on a journey that you'll be just amazed by. But the more you try to hold on to your life as if it's yours, you'll lose it. You let it go and give it to Jesus, and you'll get your life back more than you can ever dream. Let your life go. Let it go under the reign and the rule of God, and you will grow. You hold on to your life. You hold on to sin. You won't grow. God wants us to grow. Let your life go. Let it go into his reign. It just starts with saying, I want to go deeper into obedience with you. I just want to lead us in a prayer tonight, just that prayer. I want to go deeper into obedience with you. If that resonates with you tonight, I just encourage you to reach out to Jesus in that way. And watch what the Spirit of God starts to do in your heart. I encourage you, wake up in the morning and just before you get out of bed, just say, Jesus, I want to follow you today, 2 feet in the kingdom. I want to give you all of my life. I want to love those around me. Watch what happens. Wake up Tuesday, do it again. Do it again. Do it every day. And watch what our God does. His kingdom will reign in your life more than you'll realize. Let's pray. I want to lead you just in this prayer that just says, I want to go deeper into obedience with you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for these moments. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you don't play hide and seek. You say, Lord, that if we seek you out, we'll find you. Lord Jesus, we're seeking you out now. Father, thank you for each person in the room here tonight. I really pray, Father, that as we cry out to you, Lord Jesus, you say that you are keen and pleased to give us your kingdom, your power in us. So, Lord, as we cry out to you, to give you all of our lives, Lord, come. Fill us with a power, your kingdom, your reign. I just encourage you in these moments, just if you want to reach out to Jesus, you want to give him all of your life again, or for the first time, just pray. Pray this. Jesus, I want to go deeper into your kingdom. Jesus, I need you. I want to give you all of my life. Forgive me for my sin. Take hold of my life. Jesus, I thank you that we can call out to you. I thank you, Jesus, that you are near, right here with us. Lord, as we worship your holy name, Lord, take hold of us. Fill us again with a power and a zeal to go from here and to obediently follow you with all of our life, not just some of it. Help us to do that. And give us the courage to make bold, courageous decisions that will give you more of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.